You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Moolah. A man called the government office where I work and requested an estimate of his benefits upon retirement. After I gave him the information, he went on to require about his wife's benefits. I asked if she had ever worked. She has worked all of her life making me happy, he replied. That was nice, I commented, but had she ever contributed to a pension plan? No, he said, we made an agreement when we got married. I would make the living and she would make the living worthwhile. Just what an impact the economy has had on the job market became evident to me when I ran a help wanted ad for my business in our local paper. Next to salary expected, 75% of the applicants had written yes. Now the guy says, I called two young employees into my office to inform them of their semi-annual pay raise. However, I told them, because business has been slow, your raise will be paltry. You can't pay us in poultry, Jeff explained. No, Jeff, said Chris, I think she means chicken feed, not poultry. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We'll start there. Speaking of poultry, I am going to do something today that probably, if I was really honest, I've been too chicken to do for over a decade, and I'm not afraid of much. Proverbs chapter 3, people who read the Bible any amount of time, sooner or later you're going to hit this verse, you might have memorized this verse, and we're going to start with the one that everybody's pretty familiar with, and then move down to one I'd like to hit, and then we're going to plow through some more. 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now remember that phrase. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So you say, well, I want God to direct my path. I want him to show me what to do with my life. Then do the thing before that, and you might get better results. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Then keep going. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And then look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now people say, oh, you go to church, all they do is talk about money. This is about you, but when you get done, you'll hear something else. It's about me too. Okay? Honor the Lord with your possessions. Now think about what you own, and do you honor him with what you own, your possessions? And you say, well, yeah, I think so. Then look at the next phrase. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, if you would, turn to Leviticus chapter 23, but keep a hand in Proverbs there. Flip over to Leviticus 23. Start in the front of your Bible if you got Old and New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And when you find Leviticus, go to chapter 23, and then we'll jump in at verse 9. Some of this stuff in the Old Testament, people say, well, it's just a bunch of technical stuff. I don't get it. You know, let me help you with this. Leviticus 23, verse 9 says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf, and on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah, and fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It's a very simple deal. You go into your vineyard, you go into your field, and let's say you got 1,000 acres and you harvest so much grain. All you do is say, we can count so many sheaves out there, so many piles. We're going to take 10 of those, in this case, 10 of those piles, we're going to drop them off at the temple. It was simple. And people say, oh my gosh, God wants all my money. You're not even breathing without God, so what are you complaining about? He didn't say 100% of it. Now, he did say honor him with your possessions. But nobody that's listening to me right now is starving to death. You say, well, I don't have a job. We'll get to some of these things in a minute, all right? Simple deal, first fruits. So you say, well, I get a check once a year. Okay, then figure out what your check is and take a tenth of that and don't ask. You say, well, is that all the Bible talks about? Don't even go there. Because by the time you go digging around on money in the Bible, you're up to 30 and 40%. So if you don't like 10%, you're not gonna like the other verses I can whoop out on you. Now think about this, and I'll get to me here in a minute, someone who does this for a living. You say, well, I don't like giving my money to a church or to God. Then keep your money. Let me tell you something. God may not get it, but you won't keep it. I've been telling people this for years, and I got proof of this in my own life. You say, well, I can't afford to give God this money. I'm not gonna go by the temple on the way to the slaughterhouse and get rid of my livestock, the tenth of it, I'm not gonna drop off, I'm gonna keep it. You will not keep it. Because if you are not doing, trusting the Lord with all your heart, if you're not honoring with your possessions, then what happens is, if the relationship is not working vertically and you're not talking to God, honoring God, listening to God, going to God, then when it comes to the rest or all that you say you're gonna keep, you will do something stupid. Something is gonna go wrong. You will say, well, I'm stressed anyway. I don't know what to do, so I'll keep it. And you'll keep it. And then you'll be stressed. Here's where a lot of money goes, at least that I watch. Happy hours. You can drop 70 bucks, 100 bucks, 150 bucks. Bam, bam, bam. Just Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You know what? You thought you were broke. Now you've got credit card bills. You kept slapping that money down. You'd have been better off stopping by the temple and saying, okay, God, I've trusted you with this much. What are we doing with the rest? And then if you're talking to him and listening to him, what is he gonna say? Well, we sure ain't going to get wasted tonight trying to deal with our problems. So you say, well, I don't know what to do with my money. Then just say, God, I don't know what to do with my money. And he'll say, well, here's something you can do with the first part of it to honor me. I'm the one that gives you life. I'm the one that sustains your life. I got a plan, I got a purpose. I'm up to something. And I'd like to use you in the process. Not in a bad way, use you, but in an amazing blessing kind of way. I had a conversation recently with a guy who sold a company, huge company, and he tied a bunch of money on that company to his church. And he thought, there's no way God can outdo this. Now, this is where it gets fun. You know, let's say you sell a company for $10 million and you give $1 million. And by the way, if you're doing that, you got some game. Because if you sell a company and your profit is $10 million on it, the government's gonna take about half of that, right? You're down to about a half a million, unless you got some creative accounting, which that exists. You got about half a million left. Now you gave $1 million away. Now you're down to 4 million. You made $10 million. You only got four left. You say, well, God, I gave $1 million away. What are you gonna do now? I put seed in the ground. I did what you said to do. Can God trump that? Can God do that? It's almost fun at some point. Because what are you going to buy? Seriously, what is it you don't have? What are you missing? You got food, you got clothing, that's what the Bible promises. Everything beyond that, including shelter, is an absolute blessing. Now let me swing to the rich. You look at people, and I don't know what they're doing or not doing, but you know what? It is none of your business. Because for all you know, you say, well, somebody's got these cars and these houses and all that, and they're not doing the right thing. How do you know that? There's a good chance if you're judging them for not doing the right thing, you're the one with the problem, or you wouldn't be judging them in the first place. You don't know what people do quietly. Story 2 days ago, a guy told me about a guy in a church. He said he told the bookkeeper at his church, he says, if you ever reveal where this large sum of money is coming from along the way, I will stop giving to this church. I don't want anyone knowing where this comes from. I want it to be from God, period. I don't want a stained glass window. I don't want anybody ringing my bell. I want it to go to God. It's for me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Just let that be enough. So some people do this very discreetly. All right, so here's some just simple basic stuff here. Let's go back to Proverbs 3, verse 9 again. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Why? So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There is a reaping and sowing principle, and this is so no-brainer, you can't imagine. Farmers, get this. Now, if you're just starting out, you've never done it before, then maybe it's hard. If you got 1,000 acres of land and somebody says, we got all these bags of seed, you got to figure out a way to hoe your rows here, plow up these fields. And if you'll take these seeds and distribute them correctly in these holes and bury them there row by row, in a few months, you'll have corn, you'll have wheat, whatever it is. And the guy goes, but dude, how much are all those bags of seed worth? Well, I don't know, a few $1,000s. Well, let's go sell those. I need money right now. No, don't do that, because it'll multiply on you. If you stick those seeds in the ground and wait, invest in the ground, let it do its thing, it'll happen. Now, please don't think you got some slot machine going. This is always what you have to interject here. Well, I gave God $100 last week. Where's my $1,000? Or if you get some crazy TV show saying, send us $1,000 and we'll send you a love, you know, well, all that mess. Don't get sucked up into that when you're in debt. This ain't Vegas, you know, God's Vegas. This is a lifetime thing. It's a process, and it works. I have had things happen to me miraculous out of nowhere. People out of nowhere in a completely overwhelming way where I say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You say, well, Richard, you know, maybe you should go do something else. You can make more money. I don't want to make more money. It's not about that. This is what God made me to do, so I'm going to do what God made me to do. But you know what? He said he'd take care of me, and he does. So do you believe he'll take care of you? You either do or you don't. He feeds the birds, takes care of the flowers, all these things Jesus said. Then why don't you believe he'll take care of you? Let's read another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, New Testament. Now, if just the first fruits, and there's tons of scripture, don't think I just jerked a couple of verses and that's it. There's tons of scripture about this. This is so simple. It's just part of the system. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And by the way, you say, well, I don't have a problem with this. Then pay attention, take notes, and help someone who does. Part of discipleship, part of helping people follow Christ is helping them manage their money, because this is one of the top three stress makers in a marriage, of just not life itself. You sit down with couples, they'll tell you it's sex, communication, and money. You get one of those things upside down and you got problems in that marriage, and money can create problems in the other two. We'll just leave that there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Now, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he goes at this pretty hard. He says, am I not an apostle? And the answer to that is yes. Am I not free? Yes. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Yes. And this is after Jesus had been raised from the dead. He had an encounter with him. Are you not my work in the Lord? In other words, proof that I am who I am is what's happened in your own lives. If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. In other words, proof that I am an apostle and that this is working is you. He's telling us as he writes to the Corinthians. Then verse 3, my defense to those who examine me in this, do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? In other words, he's full-time in this ministry that he's got, and he's saying these other guys have wives and they're provided for. It'll make more sense in a minute. And then he gives these examples. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? It's absurd. You own the vineyard. Of course you're going to eat the fruit of that vineyard. Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? So he says, now I'm telling you, and this is New Testament here, but he says, let's go back to the Old Testament. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about, using this example? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, that it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. Okay? Very simple examples. If you want to read this thing, he's talking about the muzzle, the oxen. It's over in Deuteronomy 25:4, by the way. And there's another one I'll read you in a second in the New Testament. Verse 11. Now listen to this. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If you are part of a church and you are being fed by that church, and let me put some conditions in here. You say, well, I don't like my church. I don't like my preacher. I'm mad. You know what? You don't stop giving because you're mad anymore. You stop paying your rent because you don't like your house. You don't get all upset and take your marbles and go home. You can do that, but how's that working out for you? It's not going to work. That reveals you got an attitude problem about something else. I used to be in the diamond business. When I was in business, I'd have guys come in and they'd get engaged. And the guys would come in and they'd sit down, and what they did not know, they thought they were coming in to buy a ring and then they were going to go get engaged. But little did they know that when we landed on a diamond and I said, is this the stone you'd like to buy? And they said, yes. And they produced a credit card or a checkbook. They got engaged right then. Because when you write the check, you are committed. And I had to talk guys out of leaving with a stone. I said, dude, do not leave here with that ring unless you know what you're doing. And one of my best friends on the planet left one day with a ring. He had it in a paper bag. They were installing a ceiling fan. It took him 2 weeks to get her back down because he handed it to her, putting the ceiling fan up, said, will you marry me? I'm like, dude, that's not how you do this. He couldn't stand it. He was already engaged. And so he just had to give it to her. When you write a check, you take ownership. Now, if the first fruits thing and all that hadn't worked for you, then let me just give you what he's saying here. Paul says to them, if we, verse 11 again, 1 Corinthians 9, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing that we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? He's saying, I'm taking care of you spiritually. I'm trying to feed you, protect you, do what we're supposed to do. It's okay to benefit from that. Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those, now look at this, and this is what I am too chicken to read a long time ago. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. You know why you pay me? Because I'm doing my job. That's why you pay me. And you go to your work and you do your job and you say, well, I want to check for this. I've worked here, unless you're volunteering. You know what? It's the same way this way. Now, I don't know if I'm going to read all these or not. Go to Leviticus chapter 6, chapter 7. Go over there really quick. I'll try to read them fast. Leviticus chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus again, Old Testament. Leviticus 6, jump in at verse 14. And he goes through, you think, well, this is just a bunch of minutia. Who cares about all this? Verse 14 says this, this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it, Aaron and his sons shall eat. How do you think they made a living? And if you go back and study, when the 12 tribes went into the promised land, the Levites didn't get any property. They didn't get a big chunk of land. They ministered in the temple, so everybody gets divided up. But the way they were provided for is that these other tribes would contribute primarily at the temple with these first fruits, and that's what took care of the Levites. The remainder of it, Aaron and his sons shall eat. With unleavened bread, it shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting, they shall eat it. Go down, verse 18. All the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. Talking the same thing. Verse 26. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place it shall be eaten. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting. If you go over to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 6. Every male among the priests may eat it. Verse 7. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. There's another one over Numbers, but I think you get the point. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says here in verse 15, but I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. So he's saying, I'm writing it and what I'm saying is right, but he's saying, I'm not saying you should do what I'm saying to me, for it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. In other words, if anyone says, well, you're just doing it for the money, let me tell you something. If I am in this for the money, I have lost my mind. Anybody who goes in the ministry, now if you're like big time TV something and you got the cash cow going or whatever, I don't know how, you know, there's millions of dollars that go to that, and I'm not saying it all goes to bad things, but you know, there are ways to manipulate the system and get money out of it. This is not a get rich quick scheme. You know, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be doing this. No, not even that. That's not true. If I wasn't willing to obey God, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm not doing this for you, I'm doing it for him primarily. For if we preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid on me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And let me tell you something. That may be one of my life verses. God have mercy on me if I do not preach the gospel. I could no more not do this. If someone told me that you could not preach anymore and proclaim the gospel in this way, there is something about this. I'm telling you, it is what I am on the planet for. I do believe that. Now, I also believe that there are people who have the gift of giving. I'm not talking about everybody can give, but there are people out there who go, you know what, God, I get it. Somehow I am a conduit, I am a pipeline. And if they figure this thing out, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, they are machines at giving money away. I've known people who set up, got attorneys in New York, and they got trust accounts, and they'll tell the bank in New York to fire a cashier's check to some ministry and help it, and it's untraceable. You can't figure out who's doing what, because they're not doing it for that reason. And you hear about some ministry getting blessed, and it just happened out of nowhere. It didn't happen out of nowhere. God prompted somebody. I got one friend I'm thinking of right now, and this guy, if the Holy Spirit tells him to write a check, he writes a check, period. I got more than one friend like that. And see, for me, that is very encouraging. Not just if I'm on the other end of that, receiving a salary from a church where some of those funds go, but I watch it really working, and you think, well, everybody's just greedy, and the Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is what the Bible says. And so people are blessed and they say, God, use me. And it's so encouraging because I say, okay, this really works. I can preach about this because there's people actually doing this. Woe is me, says, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. I already told you this one out of Matthew chapter 6. But if you want to go look at it, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, Lord, thank you so much for your word. You of all people know what it means to give. Lord Jesus, you gave everything. You gave your very life. You made us, you know us, you live in us and through us when we enter into a relationship with you through Christ. And maybe that's where someone needs to start today. They say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on that cross, was buried and raised from the dead to give me not just eternal life, but abundant life. I do not want to do this anymore without you, God. I'm messing up my life. I'm messing up my money, my finances, my relationships. It's completely jacked up, God, and I cannot do this without you. So teach me, show me, even if I don't completely understand it, give me the faith to take some steps that are necessary to see things done your way for a change, Lord, because clearly my way is a disaster. Father, scary stuff for some people, but there's only one thing scarier than stepping up and giving the way you want us to give, and that's not doing it and continuing the behavior that we have been practicing for so long and expecting some different result. Father, there'll be some people here today that'll take a big old step of faith, and things will change not only in their life, but some things may change in our little old church here, Lord, where we can do some things and reach out in some ways that maybe otherwise we would never be able to. It isn't all about money, but God, you do certain things through that. You are truly amazing. And if nothing else, Lord, it would be really cool for some people who don't know what this feels like to experience it in a financial way, in a personal way, where they start out by giving you what's yours, and it's all yours really, Lord, but just symbolically even saying, Lord, here's a little bit of all that is yours, and now I'm asking you to give me wisdom on the rest, to know how to save, invest, not spend, be careful what I do, and protect me, Lord, because I trust in you. May we honor you with our possessions, and the first fruits of all that we have, because the results are pretty sweet. You're the best. Father, it's still hard doing it this way by faith because we talk to you and we really can't see you and we hear you, but I've never heard an audible voice, but I know it's you talking in my heart and through your word. Father, it will be amazing one day to see you in person. to shake that nail-pierced hand and thank you personally, in person. And our prayer is even so, come, Lord Jesus, but use us in the meantime. And it is meantime sometimes, but use us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.